Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I'm your daily host for your daily program, National Talk Black. So have your saying yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416 is the daily number you need to call. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And like I said, we go across the nation thanks to NERS. And you can have your say here, your mob, too deadly. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and also acknowledge all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, your mob. Hope you're well. We've got the grand final coming up here on Sunday, NRL, and that's the Penrith Panthers up against the Rabbitohs in Brisbane, Suncorp Stadium at this point in time, but there may be a dilemma thanks to COVID-19. It may move to Townsville, so watch this space and give us a call and have your say about the grand final. And maybe you want to talk about what's happening in your neighbourhood, with your mob there, with your organisation, with your family. Either way, clan, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416.
As I walk along the empty streets with nothing but the sounds of yesterday. Wondering about the people who live behind closed doors, the sounds of children crying, the sounds of parents fighting, and families just trying to survive. And somewhere in the darkness breaks the silence in my mind. Comes along of lost souls in the night, the loneliness of people who were lost and defeated, and somehow who were trying to unite. Tell me, why are you lonely? Can you go back home? Tell me how. From the pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in time. The pain and the sorrow that you have suffered in your life keeps you stranded in the darkness where you have walked before, suspended in eternity. Floating around endlessly, searching for a reason to go on. Oh, why are you lonely? Can you go back home? Tell me, how can I release you from the pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in time? Oh, why are you lonely? Can you go back home? Tell me, how can I release you from the pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in time? From the pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. The daily number again, 1-800-422-416. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong with the Woolly One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, your dingy country, BBM 98.7 FM. Across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Tony Gibbs. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I hear no one ringing up there, and I just wanted to say a little bit more about the nuclear thing concerning all the Torres Straits.
Yes.
Well, that is the fact that the Torres Straits, I heard Malcolm Turnbull on the radio yesterday, he's really running down his own party, Liberal. But the fact that they said that, he said that the nuclear fuel in the submarine lasts for 35 years, and he also said that America, USA and UK have had nuclear accidents. It's really stirred up the whole, this will affect the Torres Strait, one accident there, and they'll be able to pay for the future.
Well, we are playing with fire, aren't we? You know, we're talking about a so-called weapon that's going to protect the country, but yeah, the effects that this weapon does in regard to using it.
Yeah, well, one accident and we've got a Fukushima on our doorstep, and that'll destroy the whole of the Torres Straits and everywhere. And
Great Barrier Reef, all the above.
Yeah, well, the Gulf is in problem. The Gulf of Carpentaria is in problem with overfishing. If they have any nuclear, I mean, 35 years, what people do now, it's the kids in the future that are going to have to live with this accident if it happens, which is a great possibility. And the waters are fairly shallow up there, and it will destroy all the native cultures. I hear a lot of the island nations, Solomons, they're all concerned about this. And I just think, I'm just still talking early, but I think there's going to be a huge...
You're talking early, but the fact still remains is the after effects that it will cause on, well, the human race, if not Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's right. And this isn't defence, it's an offence, you know. It's an offence. And look, I worked boilermaker on the patrol boats here. This is the Navy, but nuclear subs, you know, I was boilermaker on the patrol boats here. That's just a normal thing, but patrol boats. And, if there's skirmishes in the China Sea or in the future, where are those leaking, where are those damaged subs going to come? They're going to crawl back here and bring hell on earth to everybody. And we still, I really would like to know where they plan to put this base. I have an idea that it might be Weibo.
Well, the so-called constituents are in the dark, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose it's confidential information because you don't want the enemy to know, so to speak. But we the constituents still need to know what's happening on our country and on our sea lands, that's all Australians.
Malcolm Turnbull said they've been really sneaky how they've done this. Everybody's surprised. I mean, they just went ahead and did it. Nobody knew. And normally I just talk to Murray things, but I'm really talking up for the future of all the kids in the future now, what this country is going to inherit. And I'm just a pacifist that doesn't believe in the nuclear submarine. I see the supermarket shelves are getting empty, the corona's getting worse, and trade with China.
Panic stations?
Yeah, mate, I just see things changing, and the nuclear thing. I heard Turnbull yesterday, and that's his own party. I always figured that the Liberal, he was turning on his own party, and that's a sign. He was calling them sneaky, and And this is a British decision. You know, 1 minute Britain says, oh, Australia can run itself, but they seem to have waved their magic wand and signed up with the States. And he was saying that Turnbull was saying people that don't go along with the Americans are being unpatriotic. But the whole point is we've got to be patriotic to our own country, patriotic to ourselves, not America. But anyway, it's...
So you don't believe in the so-called alliance?
No, mate. This country needs to look after itself and stop living off of tourism and just sugar cane. We need to get production going and look after ourselves and not have nuclear thing pushed on us. I think New Zealand's on the right track. They've got good trade relations. They refuse to service nuclear vessels. You know, one accident, the life of the nuclear stuff is... It's enriched, enriched uranium, and that is the material used for a bomb. So once, you know, it's the same thing. So if there's an accident with any sub that comes here to the north, that's a nuclear accident, like Fukushima, or we'll all be Fukushimas, you know.
No, good point. Good point, brother. Yeah.
Just talking up for the future of the Torres Strait and all the islands and everybody, it's nuclear, one accident.
Yep. Now, you've got a very good point, my brother, and thank you for bringing it to the table. I've got to move on, but all the best to you, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yep. Yeah, thanks, Trev.
Too deadly. Bye. Thanks, Tony. Have you say you might yarn us wrong, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, and the host for your program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Station radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. So have your say on National Talk Black, and that deadly number here again is 1-800-422-416. And all ears here, and as Tony was saying, not to talk Murray stuff, talking about nuclear, but talk about anything. All topics are open here for a conversation here on National Talk Black. So yarn up strong and have your conversation, 1-800-422-416. All right, too deadly. We're going to catch up a yarn now. We've got Samantha Connor on the line. She's the president of PDWWA, and Disability Royal Commission reports backs push to speed up COVID vax rollout for people with disability. Yes, very important space. On the line, Samantha, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And where are you based, Samantha?
I'm usually on Balladong Country in Western Australia, and so I've moved down to the city at the moment while we sort out a whole bunch of stuff around this terrible time that we're in.
Exactly. COVID-19 has put a spin on everything in regard to jobs and the future in regard to health and all the above. But sometimes more missing out is sometimes, well, you look at the situation, people with disability, and they, as you're saying here, the push to speed up COVID vax rollout for people with disability reports back. So where are we at with the rollout?
Can I just be frank and go a bit of a disaster, really?
Go all out. So there it is. Yes, yes. Exactly.
I'm trying not to swear here.
Yeah. Contain yourself, girl, please. But that's the world, the space that you're working in and living in and trying to support Australians with disability.
Yeah.
But they've been virtually put on the shelf, haven't they?
Yeah. And look, you know, when we're talking about people with disability, it's really tricky because where I come from in the country, like if you're Aboriginal, you don't identify as a person with disability. But if you go out to anywhere in my area and you go, you know, someone with a wheelchair, you know, someone who can't hear too good or who's crook, you know, like who goes down for dialysis, but they never, you know, like people are never going to go, I have a disability, like it's not a thing, you know.
No.
And so there's a thing where this disease is like making people. You know, like if you've got a chronic health condition, you're many times more at risk. So if you've got diabetes or you've, you know, lost a foot or a leg or you can't breathe well, you've got a cardiovascular issue, then it means that you're more at risk. So
all the people above are disabled.
That's right, yeah. Yes. And so if you're Aboriginal and disabled, and then if you live in a place that has a lot of people in it, and so that might be a house where you've got a big family. Like
yes. Overcrowded.
If you've got, yep. And then if you, also if you're in an institution like a jail or in, an institution that's a disability institution, you've got more people and then you're more likely to catch it, you know. Mm. So people are many times more at risk. And also, all over Australia right now, but in the regions, there's a very high rate of under-vaccination of people with disability who are NDIS participants, and mm-hmm. And also just in the regional areas, it's 18.5%, I think, in the north of Western Australia.
Samantha, I look at the analogy of a monsoonal or wet season, and then the water disappears from the grass, the ground, the roads, and what have you, and then there lies all the so-called potholes, and that's what COVID-19 has done, is exposed all the potholes, all the services that should have been done, and now here it is, creates havoc, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's it, While we're in the middle of all of this, it's, those potholes are just getting overlooked by all of the people who, all of the shots that people needed in the shortage, went to the rich kids in the private schools. And, so we've got shortages of vaccines across Australia. PWDA is national, so we have stories coming in from all over Australia. So, you're right. And it's exposing, we call them systemic inequalities across all of those different areas. And, it's shining a light on things that have gone wrong for a long time.
And look, people with disability across this country in a dark spot, so to speak, and so-called rollout, it's a strollout, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And people have had the NDIA, the National Disability Insurance Agency, have done research because they tried to sort of say, look, people are hesitant coming forward. I think that might be the case for some people. Like, there's certainly some good reasons for people not to trust government, especially in health. There's, reluctance for a whole lot of reasons, including history, But there's also been, we're entitled to the same healthcare as everybody else.
Exactly.
Right? And so, they did some research and they said, look, it's not about hesitancy. It's about lack of supply. It's about lack of access. Some places don't have accessible places for people to get, wheelchairs in, or they don't have the support to get people in. One of my colleagues, Suresh, has just come back from the Kimberley, and he said there's just no discussion about vaccines and, also the other things that we can do to keep ourselves safe. Mm. Up there. So, we're pretty concerned right now.
Look, we're having a yarn here on National Talk Black and the First Nation Radio Station. Of course, governments are listening. So there's one tool that you're using in regarding the report back on Disability Royal Commission. So where from here, Samantha, and who else do you talk to?
Everyone.
Yes.
At the moment. I think Monday I did 7 interviews and, just haven't shut up, really. But, just as much as we can. But I think, the thing that has always worked well for all of us, I come from, I'm a Wadjalo, a white woman, come from a poor family, and lots of kids. The thing that has always worked well for us in country towns has been, the word of mouth thing, mm-hmm. and talking to other people and having those conversations, So I reckon, the thing that's going to be the best thing for people who haven't got the support of government, which is most of us, is talking to people and saying, look, what have you done? Have you had a vaccination yet? If they're worried about it, which, a lot of people are, then have a conversation about that. What is your risk about where you're living? If you can get access to being safe, what does that look like for you? And also making sure you got that other support around, having good water, having a house where you're able to isolate from people, and, what are you going to do if things go wrong? So I think that's probably going to be key for a lot of us in the next couple of months, I reckon.
So the so-called Nunga Nunga grapevine, have that yarn talk, keep talking it, and make it strong.
Works, right?
It works, that's right, sis. But Samantha, thank you very much for sharing. And look, the report is there, and they say oil always rises to the top, and there exposes all the problems that the government needs to tackle and tackle fast.
Thank you so much for raising this issue.
All the best to you, Samantha. You take care, sis. Be in touch, eh?
You too. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Dudley Yarn there. That's the president of the PWDA, the Samantha Connor, her name is, and talking about the Disability Royal Commission report. It backs push to speed up COVID backs rollout for people with disability, and the People with Disability Australia, PWDA, are doing their bit in regarding exposing the situation. We need to tackle it, and the government needs to stand up hard and fast. Have your say. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Their daily number, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, that's Todd Williams there. I'd be a legend. Yeah, that's me here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So you can have your say. Call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text your brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, now we're going to catch up a yarn now with our deadly sister, Fiona Cornford, CEO of the Healing Foundation, and talk about the Torres Strait Island communities launching new healing reports. On the line, Fiona, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Good. Well. Welcome to the program. Sis, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I was born on Yidinji country there.
Mm-hmm.
Family, Seedens, Drummonds and Raymonds, and my mum is Della Seedon.
Yes, my beautiful auntie, my mother's cousin.
Yeah.
We connected, yes.
Yes.
That means I can borrow money for you, eh, sis? Cuss. Hey, dude, you there? Dude, cuss, you there? Shut up. I asked Byron Money all of this, some very important conversation. You are the CEO of the Healing Foundation. And talking about the Torres Strait Island communities in regards to the launch of their new healing report. So tell us where we're at and what's happening in that space there, sis.
Yeah, so these are the last reports documenting what the outcomes of the three forums we held last year.
Mm-hmm.
On those islands, and I think we've had eight now all up in Zenard Kes, and
very successful, very open conversations and very engaging. You feel?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We every time we're just even we experience this across the country, but
yes.
Always overwhelmed by where the days take us and where the communities get to. There's the identifying strengths and how intergenerational healing can happen. is so important, and we know that if communities are given safe spaces to be seen and to be heard,
yes,
and when they can put the trauma aside for a bit and understand that it's not a part of us and our culture, it was imposed, and actually, you know, we've got beautiful strengths and ways of keeping safe and well in our cultures that we need to prioritise again.
Yes.
And restore. Then.
And that, know, that space, that conversation, well, it created that safe yarning and to expose and get off your chest and tell you how you feel, but also look at a path forward, yes? Pathway forward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All about the how we heal intergenerationally now, yeah.
Mm. And what islands are we talking in regarding the reports on?
Yeah, Kerry, but people know as Hammond, I guess, and then Doowon and Saibai. It's a big... so we've had the launches. Doowon was last night.
Yes.
And border closures, I'm supposed to be there. I'm sad I can't be.
COVID-19, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heart and spirit have been there with them. One of our deadly team members live streamed the dancing last night, which was amazing. But it was lovely, just powerful to see how the community owns and embraces the process and the report.
And look, celebrate also the, you know, the atrocity, but also moving forward and the dance and the singing, the kaikai, that's all a part of the medicine for the healing, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, you're right. There's a lot to celebrate. We have known the better ways this whole time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And exactly. We
really
can recruit. Wasabi and all them resources can come this way because, you know, we've got the evidence to say that we know.
Yes. So we had, like you say, at one of the islands there last night, and is it continuing on, is it? Or where are we at with dates-wise?
Yes, Saibai tonight. So I hope to be live-streamed in again. That'd be great. But, you know, I'm thinking about the last launches I had I was able to travel to, where one of the leaders, you know, on my feet said, you know, well, this is a wedding, but we've got to work on the marriage.
And so yeah, nice description.
Our partner organisation up there, we're proud to work with Murakoske Sorority. Some of our aunties were founders.
Yes.
You know, together with them, we make sure that. You know, we're committed to this marriage and making it work.
And this is close to your heart, being your family belongs to you in that area, of course.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's been... there was a time where I thought I'd never be able to, you know, work back up there, but this allows me to
And a very important space, my sister. I mean, like, our ancestors speak strong, and for you to be holding this position as the CEO of the Healing Foundation, here it is, you know what I mean? It's meant to be, sis.
Yeah, and look, linking up with things, like I was just talking to Aunty Lola, but we had, you know, we've done a literature review on trauma-aware healing-informed organisations, 200 different references from across the globe, and it all... validates and backs up everything we know in the Torres Strait. And that is just to be able to share that information both ways.
Both ways, exactly.
Yeah, it's powerful.
And when you say both ways, we're talking about for healing our mob, but also for educating the people of the world, especially governments and non-Indigenous, but also our brothers and sisters abroad, overseas.
Yeah.
Globally, you know, Indigenous people on the planet.
Yeah, we're leading. We're as the oldest surviving civilization.
Yes.
You know, people want to know the reasons why, and we can tell them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's, like I said, it's a powerful tool, a powerful vehicle, so to speak, like I said, not only for this country but for all Indigenous people and for all governments across the globe. And like I said, the longest, oldest living culture on planet Earth, we should be leading the space then. And regarding, you know, fixing the, like I said, the trust that is put on our people and Indigenous people globally, you know?
Yeah, and the... you know, COVID exacerbates some of the issues in our communities. It causes more grief and trauma. It sets back and undermines healing. We've got to be stronger than it.
Yes.
We've got to do what we would normally do when cyclones come and things like that to help each other, support each other.
Come together as one.
Yeah, and not let that the damage, you know, the extent of it go too far. Look, and we are being looked to for those better ways of doing things. And there's a tide turning here. So I'm grateful I get to be in this role and
good.
Share that information.
Good. You talk with so much passion there, Fiona. Beautiful message. Before I let you go, let the mob know out there who the Healing Foundation is.
Yeah, we're a national Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisation. We headquarters Ngunnawal country in Canberra, but also in Meanjin, and we've got a few different locations, but what we're working for here is for 13 years now is healing. So working alongside stolen generations and understanding the impact of colonisation, but also understanding how to heal from it.
Yes. A very important organisation. My sister, thank you for sharing and congratulations. Enjoy the Zoom conference there for Saibai Island and fantastic work that you're doing, my sister. And look, stay safe and we'll yarn soon when the borders open up face-to-face, Kazi.
Yes, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Take care, Dal. All the best.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Fiona Cornforth, her name is, CEO of the Healing Foundation. Big shout out to her beautiful mother and father, Aunty Della and Uncle Tim. Hope you're well. And talking about the Torres Strait Island Communities launched new healing reports and fantastic work that the Healing Foundation is doing, a national Aboriginal Torres Strait Island organisation that partners with communities to heal trauma caused by the widespread deliberate disruption of populations, culture and languages over 230 years. This includes specific actions like the forced removal of children from their families and all the above. Have you saying Yana Strong out to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Deadly Track there, another day without you, the Tableland Drifters, Land Down Under, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, as BBM Bumbo Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Linda Burney, Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, and talk about the First Nations vaccination gap worse. And so it is. So there it is on the line. Linda, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trev. Who are you going for in the footy?
Yeah, I'm going for the Rabbitohs, sister. Storm's my team, but going for the Rabbitohs. Who are you going for?
I'm going for the Pennies.
Oh, okay. Well, it was nice talking to you. Bye. My sister, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Linda?
Linda Burney, Wiradjuri, southwestern New South Wales. And I've been at high school.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much. Look, very important conversation. First Nation vaccination gap worsens. Vulnerable people, and we are way behind the eight ball, so to speak, and the government needs to step up in regarding the rollout, not the strollout. Yep.
Look, I am really upset, distressed, angry about this, Trev. We have seen the vaccination gap, if you like, between non-Aboriginal Australians and Aboriginal Australians grow, and it should be going in the other direction. And if you just look at Queensland, for example, on the 12th of September, the second dose gap, that is, all Queenslanders that had a second dose, it was 16%. And then if you look at it in 2 weeks after that, on the 26th of September, it's gone up to 20%. Now, that is completely unacceptable in any form. Sure. And it's not just in Queensland. Every single state and territory, the gap has widened.
And when we're talking gap, we're talking compared to non-Indigenous Australians, yes?
Yes, we are. So I've got the breakdown state by state and territory of first dose, second dose, and it is just a very alarming story.
So what do you put it down to, Linda? Is it the vaccine itself not enough, or the education, or the actual activity in delivering? What do you think it is, Linda?
Look, I think it's a range of things. I mean, at the end of the day, the federal government is responsible for Aboriginal health.
Yes.
And responsible for vaccine rollout. In some of the communities, there hasn't been the availability of the actual vaccines. The federal government's very quick to say it's about vaccine hesitancy. Well, if it's about vaccine hesitancy, that means the messaging is
delivery.
Wrong.
Education
and,
is not out there.
Yeah, and, you know, you fellas up there in North Queensland, there's been a fantastic effort up your way.
Yes.
But it requires, I think, a better communication strategy. And we absolutely know that the best way to get the message out is not through government websites. It's by our own people.
The Murray Grapevine.
Yep.
And we're having that yarn here now, Murray Grapevine, you know, Indigenous Media, National Talk Black, you know. But here's another tool. But the fact that you're talking about it, well, it's another step towards that. But there's still a lot of work to be done. Yes, Linda?
There is a lot of work to be done. I mean, you know, and I know that the whole country's been watching with horror about what's happened in Western and far Western New South Wales. Very tiny communities, maybe not as small as some of the communities up there in the Cape, but very small places.
And but the problem still is huge.
Massive problems, particularly with our mob, with, you know, such compromised health, living in such difficult and crowded conditions.
Well, people, a prime example, Linda, is Wilcannia, when they delivered 30 motorhomes. That was the answer to the overcrowd of houses and isolation for people.
Yeah, but what happens in 3 months' time to those motorhomes?
Yes.
They'll be gone.
Yes.
So people be going
back to the crowded house. Yes. So it's a Band-Aid solution, is it not?
I think it is. It's addressing a very important thing, though, Trevor, and that is giving people the capacity to isolate. Because if you can't isolate, then you're going to spread the virus to your family, to anyone else that happens to be in the house.
Well, isolation is part of the medicine, or part of the vaccination, so to speak, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And well, it's part of the treatment if you are identified
as being a close contact or having the virus.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that the state governments are at fault here as well regarding funding that is given to build houses but didn't happen? Or there should be more money given?
At the end of the day, remote housing was the responsibility of the federal government, and they've pushed it onto the states
and territories.
So that's my phone ringing.
They can see we're talking. So rude, aren't they? If it's for me, I'm busy, Linda. If it's for me, I'm busy.
Chasing me. I've just moved a house and I've got to get NBN reconnected.
Okay,
but,
sis.
The thing is that this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It is a national scandal. Remembering that we were supposed to be a priority group, identified as a priority group and a vulnerable group, and yet you're finding these shocking...
We're still in the in-tray, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about it, my sister. So, look, thank you for sharing. Numbers are down in regard to the First Nation vaccination gap. As you said, it worsens, and the government needs to, pull the finger out, put it bluntly.
Well, the other thing is that for our mob, if you haven't had the jab, go and get it. The best thing you can do.
Okay, my sister. Thank you, Linda. All the best to you. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, hey?
All right, then. Bye.
Bye-bye. There it is. Linda Burney, Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, and talk about the First Nations vaccine gap worsens, and the numbers are, astronomical, really bad in a sense. Looking at the figures now, as she mentioned, for example, Queensland, second dose gap, 16.5. That was back in 12th of September. And up to the date of the 26th of September, it's only at 20%. So there it is. Have you saying yarn up strong? I may have to do that quickly. About 6 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Here's Rochelle Watson Pitt, Black to Reality. There it is. Daily Voice, my cousin, Rochelle Watson Pitt. Black to Reality. I was going to catch up with someone online. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. Those who cannot remember the past, what's the saying? Condemned to report it. And that's repeated, sorry. I wanted to talk about The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible, the Marvel TV series, and James Bond, he's back, brother, and Tony Gibbs, all in the same.
Conversations.
When Obama went to Indonesia, he was a six-year-old boy, and his mum and dad was there. And it was at a time of a coup, and supposedly I Googled it, and it was the CIA was behind it. And the storyline for those show, they'll have some people go into a country or an organization, and they destabilize that organization. Would legitimize their government or their people to run the company. And I thought, all the way, also Ron Ranger and Tonti too, all the way LBJ, now all the way with USA. And because USA is supposed to be the champion of the free world, and they're like the Lone Ranger, and Australia like a Tonto. And there's a lot of atrocity, swearing brother, in in West Syria right now, but the drones are in. And this country seems to be too precious about Indonesia. And like I talk about those journalists, those 5 journalists that killed there.
Yes.
It's a long story. And a lot of stuff that happened there. But and put in the answer, they attacked a Muslim. Oh, I'm saying the F word. Not a Muslim up there too, brother. But like I said, they were easier in Indonesia. They had Kopassa come here training the troops from Indonesia, with Australian brother. And on the 1972 when Gofutlam was the Prime Minister, he took out people. 1972, some of them used to be the KMT, some of them used to be the Black Panther, took them over there to use our people because we traded with the Chinese a long, long time ago. As a matter of fact, I think the white, you know, word for a white fella is Barana, that's from Macassan, I think. Mm. And we always had that close connection, but Labour Party is a lot different to Skoma, my brother. Yeah, thank you, brother.
No, thank you very much, Selwyn. Beautiful. Get it off his chest there. And Selwyn, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to a time where Murray got a sign off your mob. I thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat tomorrow, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, 24/7. Text the brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page, Rob, BBM987FM. And we go across the country. Thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Otherwise, you might stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Got the news coming up here very soon on via NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and also need to stay safe regarding the pandemic. Viruses out there, COVID-19, protect yourself, your mob, and as Linda Burney said, go and get yourself jabbed or have that conversation here with your First Nation health organisations. Too deadly, mob.